Sugars, I'm doing a throwback episode. Patrick Hines gonna be pissed because he hates it when I do this, but there really is a reason for the madness. I have some shows, new shows coming up. I have 3 shows I've already taped, but I wanted to put this in this week because I am obsessed with the new Queer Eye on Netflix. Y'all, that show is so good. It's transformative, life-changing TV, but it's also not preachy. It's so entertaining and funny. It's honestly the exact kind of ideology I have when trying to do the Dear Maddie show. I want it to be helpful, but I also want it to be funny. And one of the breakout stars of that show is my really good friend, Karamo Brown, who's been on my podcast now twice. Thank God I have a boyfriend that I love because this man is my kryptonite, y'all. I mean, woo! He is handsome, black, smart, funny. He is it all. If you haven't watched Queer Eye on Netflix, I highly recommend you watch the show. But I'm giving you this, Dear Maddie. This is about, this is like episode 4 of the Dear Maddie show. So if you haven't, because Karamo's been on the show twice, but this is episode 4. So I thought I'd kick it really old school because I'm hoping that, Sugars, I didn't have any listeners when this show first started. Not even my mom. I don't even think my mom still does, but no one listened to this show. So I'm hoping that a lot of you, this is new show for you. If it's not, girls, I'm sorry. Listen to the new TV Tea Time this week with Jake and I that just posted yesterday. But so I hope you love this show. I love Karamo. Oh, and speaking of TV Tea Time, Jake and I are thinking of rebranding the show. Again, if you want to listen to it, we have a short episode, like a 20-minute episode this week, kind of talking about the Riverdale trailer, but also about what we want to do with TV Tea Time. And we're thinking of renaming it. And we have a survey that we're asking people to take. It's like 2 minutes, it's SurveyMonkey. So you just click on the link, answer the questions. Literally, this could take you 2 minutes or 20 minutes if you like to think about things too much. But don't, just fill it out, sugar. So that link is in the show notes. So just scroll up and there'll be a hyperlink that y'all can click directly on and take that little survey. We appreciate that. And I appreciate you. And I appreciate Karamo motherfucking Brown. And I hope y'all enjoy him. Here we go. It's a podcast. Welcome to the Dear Maddie Show. I'm Matt Marr. I'm with my very sweet, my very beautiful friend, Karamo.
Hey, Ginger.
I know. It's going to be hard for me to focus the podcast with this guy because he's my kryptonite. He also has a boyfriend, so I'll be good. All right. Well, Karamo, today we are talking about phone obsessions, pot smoking, and some vino sugars. We're talking about drinking some wine. So
sounds like a regular Saturday afternoon for me.
Well, sugar, that's your life. Sugar, tell everybody how I know you, how you came into my life.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm Karamo again. Matt is, or I affectionately call him my little ginger, is a friend through a coworker. And he walked in one day to say hello to her. And I was like, who's the hot ginger?
Stop.
And then at that point, we became instant friends.
We did.
Forever.
I did. You like actually came up to me, I remember, and hugged me. And then like whispered in my ear, like, hi, Ginger. And we had never even met. I was just like, oh, my God, who is this black Superman who's just like grabbed me? Jesus, take the wheel. I was in a state. But
that's the effect my hugs have.
That's true.
Just saying.
That's true. So tell us a little bit about your life. What's your passion? Like what you're doing in life?
Sure. Well, Maddie, you know, I am a host. I host a show on the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Never heard of her. What does she do?
She's this lady. She tries to help people. Yeah, a little thing. Nothing big at all.
Yeah.
The show's on Oprah.com. It's called Hashtag Own Show, and I'm one of 3 hosts. And I'm just pursuing my entertainment career similar to you. You know,
you're also a model, right?
I do model as well.
I
hate calling myself a model, to be honest, because that is what everyone else sees. I don't see it.
I think of you as a host for it.
No, it's not that. I'm talking about like, you know, just having that little boy inside of me that's like, you're not cute enough to be a model.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious.
Really?
No joke. My boyfriend is actually the one who pushed me into modeling about 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. He was like, you should do it. And I was like, there's no way. No one would ever want to see me.
You're like the black Brad Pitt.
See? You know what? This is why I love my little ginger, in case you're wondering.
No, I'm not kidding.
These are the things. But, you know, we all have our insecurities. And so, yes, I do model, and I'm so appreciative of the work that I get.
Are you just naked all the time when you're a model? I feel that's, I'm like, I don't, unless I'm very inebriated, I just don't like being naked around people.
Really?
I mean.
That's one of my favorite pastimes. I'm actually a nudist in my mind.
Really?
Yes. Well, actually, I'm a little bit more than just a nudist in my mind. Actually, if you go to my Instagram, at Karamo Brown, you'd see that I'm nude all the time.
Well, so now, is it spelled, because I just want to make sure, is it an actual hashtag symbol own show, or is it spelled the word hashtag? I know that makes me sound 70 years old.
You are 70 now because of that. It's actually the hashtag symbol, so hashtag okay. own show.
Remember, how old are you?
I'm the same age as you.
Now, do you remember when that was called a pound?
Yes, I do.
I don't think my nephew knows that.
My kids don't know that. They're like, what is that? There's so much stuff. We saw a phone book the other day, and they asked me, what was that for?
Jesus.
Exactly.
You have kids, too. I think people are like, what? Gay guy, kids.
Yes, I have two children, one biological, one adopted. And
what are their ages?
17 and 14.
Ooh, you're almost done.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Was it because how old were you when your first son was born?
He was 16.
No, how old? You were 16.
I was 16, yes.
You were driving. You couldn't even drive a car, barely.
Oh, baby, I've been driving everything.
Were you scared as shit when you found out you were going to be a father?
Well, I didn't find out until I was 27.
So
I didn't know.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the plot twist in all of this.
Lord, that's a movie.
Exactly.
That's a Lifetime movie.
Did not know about that until later. And then once that happened, Jesus took the reins and led me there. And I got custody. And then I got another one. And then here we are today.
I didn't think I wanted children. And then I looked on Facebook and I saw a guy.
You don't want them. I'm going to stop you.
No. Like,
get a dog. Or a lizard.
I saw someone who was my age, and he and his partner had just got a baby, and I was so, I felt that yearning. I was so jealous. I was like, arr.
Yeah, that goes away. It's like gas. It goes away very fast.
You're like,
yeah.
You're ready for your freedom.
Yes, I am. Though I do love my children, and.
Oh, yeah, you're a great father.
Thank you. And they make me smile, and I'm so happy to have them. But being 33 and
Jesus,
young and in L.A. and pursuing my career and having all these amazing things happen, sometimes you don't want to have to rush home for dinner.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to stay out.
All right. Well, let's jump into this. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go. This is our first question, dear Maddie. Dear Maddie, my cousin is getting married about 7 hours away. I have to drive there because I need transportation when I'm there. My partner does not want to go because he says I'll be busy with family things and he will not have anything to do. I want him to go, but he doesn't want to. Help. It's from Jim, age 34. You have a boyfriend, right?
Yes.
So what would you, if your partner says he didn't want to go because you'll be busy with family things and he doesn't have anything to do, and you want him to go, but he doesn't.
This is multi-layered. Obviously, if Jim is 34, you should know by now that communication is key.
It's true.
Also compromise is key. So there's obviously a reason that, other than just the fact that you'll be with family and he'll have nothing to do, why he doesn't want to go. And anyone at this age or point in their life, I feel, should be able to recognize that there's a deeper issue here.
Yeah.
And we should be talking about maybe there's a family member you don't like. Maybe you're not comfortable. Maybe no one's ever made you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's something that you'd have to figure out, because somebody saying you'll be with family stuff, it's a wedding. That's what weddings are.
Yeah.
Stuff. So get a life.
No, I agree. I think it's something deeper. Is it a sign, like, not that something's wrong, but or that there's just something deeper? If I feel like if I'm dating someone and none of my friends like him or none of my family, and I'm very close to all those people, then there's a problem. And if that person feels uncomfortable, I mean, that would be hard. So I would want someone to go. I mean, I believe in having your individualism in a relationship, but if it's because that would hurt my feelings a little bit, actually. Maybe I'm being sensitive, but if my boyfriend said, you're going to be doing family things, I'm like, well, what are you?
Yeah.
Just my bedmate? You're my family. Like, you need to be a part of my family as a whole.
Yeah. I agree. You're preaching. I agree. But at the same rate, we have to think about...
Devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Here she goes.
Okay. What is it that maybe... Have you not made your partner feel comfortable? Like, there has to be some communication going on. There's a lack of communication. This whole question right here is you all need to go figure out how to communicate. That's what this is saying to me. Because whether or not he doesn't want to go, you want him to go. Have you expressed to him how important this is to you? Because I didn't get that. All I heard was you whining about how far it is and that you have to drive. So I didn't hear you express that this was the most important thing because this is my favorite cousin and I love them and I can't miss this. So are you communicating properly that this is something you really need them to be at? Or do they just think, oh, this is nothing, so I can miss it? You know, so there's a communication breakdown, and that's what Jim needs to be worried about.
Sugar, you're like the Dr. Phil. You just got real.
Let's get real.
You are getting real.
Well, you know I was on The Real World, so.
That's true. Oh, yeah. We didn't say that. You were on the, what year?
Well, because I never talk about it. I only brought it up.
Do you not bring it up?
No, we can talk. We just brought it up.
Okay. So. What was that like filming? I used to be on it or want to be on it when I was 20.
Yes.
And then by the time I turned 22, I was like, fuck that shit.
So, well, I went on it when I was 23. So thank you for making sure that I had lower self-esteem than I had when I walked in.
Please.
It was actually a really amazing experience. I loved it.
Are you friends with people still from the show?
Every single one of them except for two.
Oh, really?
Yes. Ooh. Yes. And
you need to watch the season then.
Well, no, it's only, I can tell you really quickly. It's not that big
of
a story.
Did you get residuals from that?
Well, nowadays, these kids don't get paid because there's so many reality shows. But when I did it, we got a nice hefty check and a lot of appearance fees. So I didn't work for about 3.5, almost 4 years because I was making at least $10,000 a month just because of The Real World.
Really? And they don't do that now?
No.
People are cheap.
Yes, they are.
I'm sorry, we're going back a little bit to you, but now you have a little bit of a podcasting, radio. Can we talk about
No, you can talk about anything with me. You don't even have to say that.
Text. Oh, you're getting a text. Oh, so you're doing a radio show, right?
Yes.
For Sirius.
I am. Yes.
It's the show. What's it called?
I don't know the name of it yet, so they don't give you that information.
Okay.
It's just been a soft green light for a Sirius XM radio show with LGBT people of color, and so I'm excited about that.
Ooh.
I know.
I just want to sit and watch that show. I'm just not into white guys. It's a thing. All right, let's go on again. So, dear Maddie, my sister hates it when I come over and use my phone. We see each other about twice a month, and she wants my full, undivided attention. I enjoy talking with her, but I will text friends or check Twitter every now and again, and then she gets upset. Am I being ridiculous, or is she? This is from Tim, 28 years old. I'm very big about... Like when I go to restaurants now, I take my cell phone and I put it in my car.
Preach,
in my car.
Brother,
so
preach.
I think people are way too much. So, Tim, I think your sister is just stating like she just likes you. She wants to be around you. She loves you. If you only see her twice a month, sugar, what is waiting 2 hours to check your Twitter or to check your email? Mm-hmm. Like if somebody really wants you, guess what? They're going to call you like 4 times on your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember when you just went places and you didn't have a phone?
Yes.
Because that was just life. You went home like you had an answering machine. And I think that sometimes we should have pretend I live in a 1984 day where you take your phone and you use it. You just keep it in your car if you have an emergency. And you have a day where you're not checking it. And that said, I check my phone probably way too much too. But again, I think that goes to like a deeper... You're either bored or you're longing for something or you're longing for attention or you're longing for validation because you want someone to like your status or share your Instagram thing or poke your Uranus. I don't know. Your Vine. I don't know what people do. I think, Tim, you need to spend time with your sister. Okay, P.S., I'm done. Go ahead.
You, first of all, just sounded really old. I just want to let you know that not knowing Instagram or Vine or any of these things, and you're not that old.
I need a publicist.
Okay, I just want to let you know you're not that old. You're like a year off from being a millennial, so you have to like stop making yourself seem like you're a baby boomer.
Okay, yes, that's, okay, I'll
so,
try. All right, you're right.
But no, but I do not agree with you. I agree when you're at a restaurant or something and you're having dinner, put your phone down. But again, I guess tonight's going to be, dear Maddie, why is the communication in my relationship, whatever form that comes in, is horrible? Because clearly this reads to me that your sister's boring you and you have not been able to find a way to express to her that you don't like her company and that she bores you. Because if I'm going to only see my sister twice a month, it's because I really don't like your company. And she clearly doesn't know that because she's begging for you from what I'm gathering. I'm, you know, embellishing a little bit. But she wants you around her. And when you're on your phone, it's because you clearly are not interested. It's like going to a movie or watching a television show and it's boring you. And immediately you pick up your phone. Back in the day, you daydreamed. Now we have something to keep us occupied. So why won't you just communicate, Tim, and say, hey, sis, so... First of all, let's talk about why I'm coming twice a month. there's an issue there.
That's true.
Then secondly, when I'm there, whatever she's talking about, you need to let her know that, hey, maybe we can talk about that for 10 minutes because it's boring the shit out of me and I'm going to be there for you. But then we got to move on to something else because hearing you talk is driving me insane and I'd rather go on Instagram or Vine than listen to you chatter. That's just me.
I love that approach. No, I do, because I think often we think people aren't paying attention, but you're bringing up the fact of what if we actually try to like co-create a meaningful relationship.
Exactly.
Together.
Let's co-create. See? Those are the words that I did not have, and that's why I love you.
Oh my God. Co-create, you are the best boyfriend, I bet. This.
No, I'm horrible. I'm not communicating in a relationship. Are you kidding me?
So
what are you talking about?
You don't do any
of this.
This
is advice to give people. I'm not communicating. Like,
so, oh, now we had a question on a previous show.
I will communicate.
Well, I have a question for you. Yes. This is personal. We had this on a previous show. Mm-hmm. When it comes to phone messages and phone text,
yes.
Do you let your boyfriend look at your phone?
So this is what you're going to realize, and this will answer the question for you. So my iPhone right now is locked, right?
Uh-huh.
So I want you to unlock it if you know the passcode.
Oh, there's no passcode.
I have nothing to hide. So.
Oh, look at that.
For me, I think if there's a reason for someone to check your phone or your messages, that means there's something that's going on why you don't trust each other. I don't have a red flag. I don't have a passcode on because if one day you decide you want to check my phone, then go for it because I'm not hiding anything from you. And in a healthy relationship for me, the way I'm picturing it in my mind, I don't need to check your phone. You don't need to check my phone because we trust each other. But if for some reason I had a doubt, I want access. And if you can't give me access to every part of your life, then there's a bigger issue. That's just me. That's why this is not locked.
I totally agree. You know what? I actually didn't have one on my phone before on this last update. It created a password.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to take it off because hey, I don't have a boyfriend. It's not like, I wish somebody was looking through my phone. Jesus. Please. Can't somebody be jealous about me? Maybe like talking some, oh, whatever. That's another show. But like my friend had the flu, and when they found him, he got the H1N1 flu, and they found him unconscious in his bed and all this shit. Nobody could get into his phone because he had all these fucking passcodes.
See?
It's not like your life is the CIA. You're just going to have maybe a butt pick and maybe like talking dirty at the most. Mm-hmm. That's just gay people. Straight people probably don't have any of that.
Oh, they have it.
Oh, they do.
They're worse than us.
I have found out that women send pictures of themselves.
They do.
I did not think they did that.
But what I found out from all my straight girlfriends is they do not like dick pics. So they enjoy you looking at them and lusting over them, but they don't want to see your penis.
Really?
Most straight women, like lesbians, don't like the sight of a penis.
Really?
Yes. That should be a poll question. I'm telling you. How many of you women like penis pics?
The first time I saw a penis, it was like the eighth wonder of the world. I was like, I was like, what is happening? It's like I'm playing Candyland. I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
Okay. Oh, it makes sense. It's very sweet. A good penis is very sweet.
Thank God the show's for adults. Exactly. Okay. Dear Maddie, my partner smokes pot and I don't. It's only about once a week, but I hate the way he acts when he's stoned. I've asked him not to, but he thinks it's an unreasonable request. He says it's like having a glass of wine. I think he acts very differently stoned versus after a glass of wine. How do we compromise? This is from Carrie, 42.
Mm-hmm.
I don't smoke the doobie, so I'm going to put that out there.
Neither do I. I used to. I don't anymore.
I never did. I tried it twice. It's just not for me. It's a gray area with pot. Because I know from counseling people with addictions, like, I do think pot's kind of more of a drug than people say it is.
Agreed.
And people get addicted to pot. I don't enjoy it. I'm sorry, if you're listening to this, if you smoke pot and you drive, sugar, you're a dangerous person.
Okay.
That's like drinking and driving. You need to not do that. There's two issues here. There's, first of all, what is the gravitas of pot smoking? Do you think it's the same as drinking a glass of wine?
No, you can't compare.
Why?
Because different substances affect you differently. So it's like saying cheeseburger is the same as a beer or something. I don't know. Like, I get really heavy when I eat a cheeseburger, and I get lethargic and I cannot focus. I mean, it gets really heavy on me. And so I can make that argument like, oh, when people say don't eat cheeseburgers because it's not good for you. Obviously, I know I'm stretching here. But I'm just trying to point the example. For her question for me, how do we compromise? This is not a situation you should be compromising on. Sorry, boo. You need to leave. Because fundamentally, you have expressed that you do not like, first of all, weed. And you do not like how he acts. If you do not like how your partner is acting, it's time to go. And if he has expressed to you, I mean, you know, I told you I work for OWN, and there's something that is in the OWN hallways, a quote from Maya Angelou that Oprah obviously put up that says, when people tell you who they are, believe them. And he has told you he is not planning on changing, and he thinks that you are overreacting. So now you have to process, why are you going to stay with someone who's telling you that he's not going to change?
Yeah.
And put yourself through something that's not enjoyable. Is it because the dick is good? Because you can find better dick. Is it because you live and share an apartment together and so you're scared about the bills? Because you will be able to survive and you'll find a roommate. I just don't think this is a compromising situation.
I mean, I don't know, too. I mean, Carrie's 42, so I'm wondering, do they have kids? That's a whole other issue, too, to me about response. I don't know. I'm 70 years old. We've already discovered that. So,
but even with kids, because I have children, and I think about the fact of what type of example do I bring around with my kids?
Yes.
So if first of all, let me take it back. I am Jamaican. So my family was born in Jamaica, and I'm first generation American.
I'm sorry. I just went somewhere, y'all. Okay, I'm back. I'm back. Okay, I'm here. I'm here.
And my father is a Rastafarian. So weed was something in my house that I saw all the time, always, every day. And I saw that how my father, who had a master's degree in accounting and was one of the most brilliant men I've ever met in my life, when he started smoking weed a lot more than he did at one point of his life, how it affected him. Mm. And I also know how it affected me. It affected my sisters. It affected my friends who came over to see my father stoned in the middle of the afternoon on a summer day. Just not a good feeling. So if they're on your argument, Maddie, if there is kids involved and you're like, I can't leave because of the kids, then you have to think, what example are you setting for them? Are you telling them that this is okay to, first of all, smoke weed and to have different behavior? Or are you also telling them, which this is the big one for me, that it's okay to deal with something that doesn't make you happy. Mm. And that's not okay to tell children to deal with stuff that doesn't make them happy. So you need to get up and go, because other questions, it was about communication. You all have communicated, and it's clear in black and white. Get up and go, girl.
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend maybe considering an Al-Anon meeting.
Oh,
or maybe
that's
the Al-Anon book, because you're checking out. Like, everyone has addictions. We all have addictions, whether it's sex or drugs or alcohol, or also whether it's working out or journaling or being really into
stuff. Or like you, your addiction has the word in it, a dick.
That's true.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie with that. But seriously, whether you get obsessed about decorating, there's healthy addictions. Mm-hmm. So, and I think I fundamentally believe it's human beings actually that we're all addicts. We're all addicted to something.
Agreed.
And it's finding what are the helpful ones in your life, not the good or the bad. But with this one, it's obviously you want to stay away from those addictions that make you check out instead of check in to like your soul.
Each brother Maddie.
And this is checking this person out. Mm-hmm. And my husband, boyfriend, whatever, if he's checking out of my life with us together, he's checking out of our life with children. Mm-hmm. Maybe she doesn't need to leave him yet, because maybe there's still hope for this relationship. But I do agree with you that...
Yeah, I don't want her to leave fully. Especially if and we don't know the situation, but...
Well, he is telling her who she is.
Exactly.
Or who he is.
Who he is, yeah. So maybe sometimes you have to leave for a little bit to let him see what he's missing and decide if weed is more important or if your company is more important. At 42, I know a lot of women who are 42 who are my friends, and I've sat with them, I've cried with them, I've had moments with them, and I understand how hard it is at 42 to date, at any age to date, like even at our age. I'm 33, and I can't imagine getting back out there because I'm scared.
Now I'm depressed.
Okay. We're all depressed. That's the problem. So I can imagine the fears you have of like, well, I can deal with this. I can deal with this. But let me tell you something. What's her name again?
Her name, that is Carrie.
Carrie.
Carrie, 42.
Carrie. You are, I don't know you, but I can tell you're articulate. I'm sure that you have a great sense of humor. You clearly are fun because you're with a man who smokes pot, so he had to see something in you that's fun. Mm-hmm. You don't need to deal with anyone who's not going to make you 100% happy, because there is someone out there that's going to make you happy. And he's just waiting for you to not be tangled up in this pothead situation, and he will find it. So if that's your fear, let that go, because you will be okay. That's all I got to say.
I need Karamo to record meditation CDs for me to listen to every morning to tell me that one day I'm going to find a handsome black man like Theodore Huxtable who's responsible and will stick around.
You think Theo's hot? Really?
No, I just want that. I keep dating guys like on the DL, so I got to move on. Like,
yes.
I need a Theodore Huxtable who's gone to college, he's gone to school, he wasn't ever in a gang.
Come hang with me, boo-boo. Because you have to stop going to South Central for your dates, okay?
I know
that's
true.
Exactly the problem.
Doesn't happen in Cranston. My father's listening to this, and he's going, shit.
Okay.
Shit.
Shit, my son is dating a black thug.
That's true. All right, question. We have time. Question 4. Dear Maddie, my coworkers are all very anxious people. Mm-hmm. I'm typically not an anxious person, but I found that my anxiety levels are much higher being around these anxious people. How do I manage this when I have to be in the office every day? This is from Todd, 24. Mm. Ooh, it's probably his first job, too.
Yeah, he's young.
Very close.
Little baby.
Little baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father used to have it, or not used to, he still has one because he's very much alive. And he would always say, you know, Matthew, just remember, if you run with the lame, you're going to limp.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, Chelsea Ray brings it.
If
you run with the lame, you're going to limp.
You're going to limp.
I don't know. We haven't done a poll. We're going to do a poll right now.
Mm-hmm.
My poll says 80% of... No, I'm kidding. I don't know. But I think more than the majority of people are anxious in their jobs, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, especially when you start. Yes, you're definitely anxious.
So he wants to know, I mean, as far as managing, is it Wanda Sykes who said, I'm going to do me and you do you?
Mm-hmm.
And that is true. Like, remembering you've got to do your job performance. You have to work with people, but thinking, what are the moments in the day where I can take time for myself,
focus on
myself? Mm. If you need to, seriously, sugar, just go in the bathroom and sit on the toilet and meditate for 5 minutes. Do it. Like, you need to do something that's going to calm yourself. Hopefully you like your job, or maybe there's something you can find you like about your job. You could work for that American Apparel guy, and he could be hitting on whatever. He got fired. But I don't know your life, sugar.
I would have him as my boss, by the way. A boss walking around naked? Sign me up. Just to let everyone know.
So I'm going to go into business. I'm going to hire Karamo.
Okay.
And, sorry, it's back to Todd. I feel like, Todd, you have the power to not be an anxious person, because you said I'm typically not an anxious person. So maybe it's like setting an intention when you go to work every day,
mm-hmm.
whether you journal it, whether you say, today I'm going to, when Susan freaks out about that, I'm going to, instead of thinking something negative, I'm going to think about something positive that I'm doing at work. Not about her. Not about them, but about me.
I love that. You and I are in agreement, because Todd, you are at work and these people are not your friends. And I know that you have to work with them. And so it becomes a place where you're like, okay, I want to fit in. I want everyone to like me. But you listen to Maddie. Listen to my little ginger. Set an intention and stick with it. And when it's too hard, walk away from them. This is a job, and in 4 years, 5 years, potentially, you're only 24, so this is not going to be your first and last.
No.
You're not going to remember any of these anxious people. But what you will remember is the intentions you set for yourself and remembering the good things that you've done. So, preach, Brother Maddie.
Well, he's at a place, because I work at a law office as my day job. And, you know, sometimes it takes my soul when I do their dishes and I have a master's degree. But whatever, we're not talking about that. But we just hired this girl to be the same type of job I am, an admin person. And she's 24. And she just didn't come into work. Did not come in. No call. No nothing. Her mother called later and said she was handling a family emergency not well. And it made me a little jealous. So, Todd, you're at an age where you can walk away and there's not... You don't have responsibility. You don't have... Because you and I know what it's like to be working at a day job that you have to be at because you've got responsibilities.
Yes.
Sugar, maybe this is the universe telling you this is not where you need to be.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I say to people, especially when you're starting out, but yes, it is about the job you do, but it's also how you're able to show up for the job that you do. And if you're happier working at Starbucks, that has great benefits, P.S., then do that.
Yes.
Than to work at a job you hate.
Preach, Brother Maddie. You are speaking the truth.
I am.
Are you sure you weren't a pastor in your past life?
I probably was. I thought about it. I was going to be a priest when I was in college. And then a month later, I decided to be gay. So, I went through a very soul-searching experience. So
I'd go to that church.
I mean, well, speaking of scandal,
yes,
this is our time for celebrity shit the bed. This is the time that where somebody in pop culture has just, they brought it down. So this week we're talking about something very near to dear to me. We're talking about Whitney. We're talking, ooh, you got to fix your pants. Are you wearing underwear?
Of course I am.
Why would you? Okay. Why would you? You don't need to. Just take them off. So
I had to fix myself, everyone. Excuse me.
Sorry. It's like somebody just tried to replant a redwood over here. Okay. So anyway, I'm sorry. What are we talking about? Oh, Whitney. All right. So Whitney, so just like to give an update for people, Whitney Houston biopic. It's going to be on Lifetime. Angela Bassett's her first time directing. They cast a girl who was in a Disney, her name's like Yaya.
Yaya. She was actually on Top Model first. She was the second runner-up to Eva Marcel.
Oh.
Or Eva Pickford.
Oh, look at her.
I know. So she didn't even win, but she's winning now.
But she's winning now.
Clearly.
She's now, I think I read this is going to be about Whitney and Bobby. This is about their relationship. So I saw in a breakdown, it literally said, looking for people to do coke at a party. And I was like, oh, Jesus, I want to do a ply so badly.
Okay.
I didn't, but I wanted to. I still might. Just to be an extra in that film, like me doing, I just love it. What? Well, so what do you think? Do you think it's too soon for a Whitney biopic, or do you think it should be done?
Well, first, can I tell you my Whitney story? I have a Whitney story!
I don't have a Whitney story, yes.
So when I first got off The Real World, this is 2005, I would get so many crazy calls and everything from
I'm
every
so
different
happy
ways.
Right now.
Yes, and it was like ridiculous. And so one night, I was coming home from hosting MTV Spring Break, and I got this call from this guy that said, I am Whitney Houston's manager, and she watches you on The Real World, and she is in love with you, and she wants to set up a call with you. Clearly, I'm thinking this man is a fucking nut. And so I'm like, how the hell did you get my number? What the hell? He's like, no, this is legit. I said, okay, well, if it's legit, have Whitney call me. Hung up the phone, didn't hear from the man, okay? Calls back a week later and says, hey, we want to set up the call for tomorrow. And I'm like, listen, guy, I need you to stop. He was like, in the meantime, I'm going to send you a package full of Whitney stuff overnight so that you can have it. And I was like, seriously, get the hell off my phone. I'm going to like call the police and like whatever. Next day, don't know how this man got my address. There was a package of Whitney Houston CDs, every CD she's ever made, a photo, everything on my doorstep, okay?
So now you're going, shit's getting real.
Shit's getting real. But I'm still like, why is Whitney Houston watching?
I love this. You say, you are from Texas, from Houston, because you say Houston.
Oh, yes, I'm from Texas.
You don't
say
the H.
I don't say it.
That's
Houston.
So funny. That reminds me of my friend Sarah DeLomo. That's so funny.
I've never been able to, and I've tried. Houston.
My dad doesn't say it. Houston, that's what he says.
Houston, yes. So I was thinking, like, why would she be watching The Real World? This is not making any sense. This is a prank. This is somebody who's a fanatic and had the stuff, found my address somehow, and sent it to me.
Boy.
That night, I was having a party at my house, and he calls. I pick up, and I put it on speaker, and I'm like, hey, everybody, like, he's calling. I'm like, hey, so you're on the phone with Whitney? And he's like, yes, hold one second. Whitney Houston gets on the phone and tells me how she watches me every night and she records my episodes of The Real World. Clearly, in hindsight now, we know that she was high and that's why she was watching
The Real World.
The Real World on repeat late at night. But in the moment, being young and arrogant, I was like, oh, whatever, ha, 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 whatever, Whitney, ha, ha, you're so fun. She said, when you come out to Atlanta, I want to hang out with you. I literally got off the phone. We all had a good laugh, and we threw her CDs over the balcony. I know.
That makes me want to hit you in the face.
This took a horrible turn, this story, but I had to be honest with you. I could have told you something else. And then, like, a year later, I woke up.
So you feel like shit when she died.
Yes, I actually felt really like an arrogant little kid. Like, why the hell? But the point of this story is not what an asshole I was, because that's been established, and I feel very bad for myself. It's the fact that Whitney Houston was watching The Real World when she was doing coke. Boom. And that's my Whitney story. Now back to you.
Who cares?
Now back to you in the studio.
Who cares about the movie? You're a dick. an asshole. Do you think it's too soon for the movie, or?
Okay, yeah, that was your question, right?
See? Yeah.
Unfocused.
KDD, I got it.
So, do I think it's too soon? I don't know. You know, I just don't
it's
know.
It's been like, what? Two and a half years.
Yeah, really what my biggest issue
it's
was.
It's February 28th.
Yes, my biggest issue was is that her mother is still alive, and her mother said that no one spoke to her about this film. And so I think, I don't know if it's too soon or if it's not enough time has passed or whatever the case may be. For me, and I know how this Hollywood machine works, I'm just trying to figure out where's the decency with someone to call the mother and say, hey, your daughter died. The aunt, Dionne Warwick, your niece died, who you're close to. May we do this story and can we have your input? So that way, even the daughter, Bobby Christina, to say, hey, this is your mom and your dad.
Yeah.
Even call Bobby Brown crazy ass and say, hey, get in here. So that's my issue.
Did you see that? Well, if you haven't, you have to say yes because she pays you. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Oprah interview with Whitney or Whitney's mother?
I did see it.
That was really... Do you think Whitney Houston was a lesbian?
I do.
I did not think she was until I saw that interview. And you know how you see a parent who knows the truth in their child but
yes,
completely denies it?
Completely. And that's what was written all over her
face.
So,
like, I feel a little sorry for her mother, but I also... And this, some people aren't going to agree with me, but her mother was so vehemently against...
Homosexuality.
People are not going to be happy, the three people that listen to this, but I was kind of like, it made me feel like her daughter's blood was on her hands.
Mm.
It really, not that, I mean, this was Whitney's disease.
Yes,
battle,
I know exactly what you're saying,
but I thought, how could you be, for someone who loved her mother so much, had such a spirituality with God, how could you live day to day with that self-doubt? As we know from being queer, like, how do you do that when mm-hmm. your mother is basically telling
you? You find ways to cope, and that's
and
what
she did.
You know, and I don't think it's just the mother issue. I think there was also the
there's
issue.
A lot of
yeah,
complex
there's a whole,
issues.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby Brown had his demons, and when you fall in love with someone who has demons, then you sometimes can pick up those demons to make sure that the person you love loves you.
Yeah, and then she developed vocal problems.
Vocal problems.
I know what it's like to have as a singer. When I have vocal, it really affected my identity. So I was like, bless your heart, you feel like shit about yourself. Now you can't sing the way you do, so you want to check out. It was just...
Yeah, there was a whole lot of issues. So I'm not sure if it's too early, but someone should have contacted the family to just say to them, it's similar to the Aaliyah story that's coming out. You know,
Does
everyone know Aaliyah out there? Mm-hmm. A-A-L-I-Y-A-H. Yeah, the little baby noise. Uh-huh. So they're doing her story, and the family is not involved either. And so for me, I think that Lifetime needs to get it together and have somebody who's reaching out, because I understand that you can have the rights to create a story that's based on this person's life and use their name and likeness. But at the end of the day, like, really, are you not going to give anyone in the family the respect to say?
I agree. I don't think Lifetime gives – I think they give zero fucks about that. But
– clearly.
All right, Whitney. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. But I hope Yaya does a good job. She was in The Butler, and she did an amazing job. She was the pro-black.
I didn't like The Butler.
She was the pro. You don't like the movie my boss was in? You didn't like the movie my boss is in?
I feel like it tried to be, felt like it wanted to be an African-American Forrest Gump. And I don't feel like it hit it. And I feel like the casting was amazing.
Yes.
Again, this is going to make me sound racist. I just felt like but this was a description. The casting for everybody who was black was amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. Oprah was incredible.
But.
What's his name with the lazy eye? Incredible.
Forrest
Whitaker,
who's
amazing.
A mentor of mine.
I love Forrest Whitaker.
He's my buddy.
I have a lazy eye too, so I'm not making fun of you, Forrest. I have a full-on lazy eye.
But I just showed Maddie a photo of me
of him and Forrest. Yeah, he picture dropped.
I did. I totally picture dropped. Are you kidding me? It's L.A. I'm not going to not picture drop.
But what's his name? John Cusack was Richard Nixon? No.
No, that wasn't good.
That was bad. Whatever. Yeah. That's a whole other thing. We're looking at time, so I want to keep going. So we're at, and you're getting sweaty. I mean, just take off your shirt. You should. It's time. So now we're at Chatty Maddie questions.
Yes.
So these are the five questions that I ask every single host. That you have to answer honestly.
Yes.
If I had a Bible, I'd make you swear on it.
I'm an open book, and I will answer anything truthfully and honestly.
An open chocolate book.
Yes.
All right. Oh, wait. First question, number one. What is your most memorable childhood smell?
So I told you I'm Jamaican, and it is plantains frying in the morning. Like, on Saturday and Sunday mornings, my mother and father always, they cooked a big dinner every night, mm-hmm. but on Saturday and Sundays, they cooked a big breakfast, and it always included plantains, and that's what would wake me up. So that's my favorite childhood smell.
Oh, how many siblings do you have?
I have 4 older sisters.
Oh, you were going to be gay.
Oh, clearly.
Clearly,
honey.
Jamaica's really not. That's the worst place to be gay, really, in the world. Well, kill you there.
Yeah, near. Almost near. But yes, they are very, they're not okay with.
But you were born in Jamaica.
Gay. No, I was born in America.
Oh,
my parents, everyone else was. So my sisters and I, we're first generation American. Everyone else was born there.
Oh, good for you that you
But actually, I've just come to a place now that I've realized that's part of my mission in life is to go back there and to change the culture for LGBT people.
Mm-hmm. I love this man. I love this man. All right. Now, question number 2.
All right.
Alcoholic drink you cannot drink anymore because you got drunker than Cuda Brown on it.
Ooh. Well, you know, first of all, Maddie, you know my little ginger. I only drink Heineken's.
That's you do like
all
it.
I drink.
That's true.
Back in the day, I used to drink Crown Royal, and I can't drink that anymore.
Did you get sick on it?
Yes. When I was pledging, I will tell you that
Wait a minute.
Yes.
You were in a fraternity?
It's not. It's a different fraternity.
Was it one of those fraternities that like clap and do dances?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
They're black fraternities.
Oh, my God. That's all. I wanted to go to Howard University so bad.
Because you were hoping that they would step into your pum-pum.
That's why
a pum-pum is, by the way, your vagina.
Oh, okay.
So that's
all right. Hi, Mom.
Exactly.
Hi, Mom. You're like a Sean Cody model. Okay. So you got drunk with your first pledge.
Yes, like in the process of trying to pledge. Like there's a whole process.
So if you even smell it, you get nauseous.
Ugh, yes.
Okay.
But hopefully one day they'll give me like an ad deal and I'll like promote Crown Royal.
You were a sellout. I love it. Okay, number 3. When are you most inspired?
When am I most inspired?
Yeah.
Oh. When I see my kids smile. That's not a lie. When I do something and I can tell they are excited for me, I'm super inspired to keep on going.
I love that because you talk like about how hard it is, childhood, but yet it's the most rewarding thing.
Well, because you want them to be their best. So literally, when I see them smile, I told them something in an audition I went on the other day, and they saw me prepping for it. And then when I told them how it went, their smile about or their genuine excitement was like, oh my gosh, I need to get this.
All right. Number 4, weirdest place you've had sex.
There's no place weird to have sex. I will fuck anywhere. Like, that's the stupidest question I've ever heard in my life. There's no weird place. Only weird people having sex in places that are public.
Have you ever had sex during a podcast?
Yes.
Damn it. Damn it. Mother, damn it. Whatever. Next question. All right.
Where's the weirdest place you ever had sex?
A movie theater. So number 5, what makes your heart happy?
Succeeding.
The work that goes into succeeding?
Yes, the work. It's not like this whole like, there. Of course, we all have ego attached to succeeding. But for me, it's like the work that I put in. I work really hard. Anybody who's in my life knows that I work a lot.
Yes.
I like do a lot and try to balance a lot. And also, hugs make me happy. I give a lot of hugs. I don't think there's anyone I don't hug. So
is Oprah a good hugger? I see when she doesn't want to hug people, she holds up her hands and she grasps them like. Has she done that to you or is she hugging?
No. See, I'm a germaphobe, so I can't do that.
Oh, okay.
Like, I'm not a germaphobe like Howie Mandel germaphobe.
Yeah.
But like this past weekend, I did VidCon. It's like Comic-Con.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And which your podcast needs to be featured at VidCon.
We're getting there.
You will be there. Let's claim it.
Claim it.
Brother.
2015.
Yes, you are there. And so people were coming up and I was like hugging them and they were like, oh, I love a hug. And I was thinking it's only because I really don't want to touch your hands. Because I don't know where they
You know what? I respect that.
Yes.
I respect that. And well, look at that. Well, that's it. We're done.
Really? I was having fun with you, my little ginger.
Now, if you have questions, you want to submit them to DearMattyShow@gmail.com. Again, that's DearMattyShow@gmail.com. You can go to the website, talktomattmar.com, to get some more information. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My beautiful, beautiful chocolate man, Karamo Brown.
Thank you.
So talented. Tell everybody a little bit. Tell them again where they can see you.
They can see me on daily on the Oprah Network or at Oprah.com/ownshow. Oprah.com. /ownshow.
What is the show about?
#ownshow is a daily lifestyle show where we talk about food, fitness, home. We also do celebrity interviews. Like, we just did an interview with Russell Simmons. I just did an amazing interview with one of my journalistic heroes, Lisa Ling.
I love Lisa Ling. Know.
And we were talking about
Channel One. I used to watch her.
I know. And she's about to go to CNN, so I'm so happy for her.
She is. Yes. That's amazing.
Yes, we did an amazing 3-part interview on kids in the foster care system here in Los Angeles, which I thought was really amazing because she's doing a big expose piece.
Oh, yeah. She has a lot for own. I love her stuff.
Yes. And so we do a lot of, you know, everything from lifestyle to celebrity interviews to, like, those deep issues to help you live your best life. Anything that Oprah does, we do it for you in snackable, bite-sized videos that you can use throughout your day. Yeah, I love it. It's opened up a lot of doors. They also go to KaramoBrown.com, and then there you can figure out my social media, which all my social media is Karamo, K-A-R-A-M-O.
Well, thank you again for being here. I appreciate you so much. I love you. You're a sweet person.
I love you too.
And that's it, y'all. That's the show. All right. See you next week.
Bye.
I know. This man, Karamo. What makes me so happy about his success on the show, and for a lot of them, but I mean, just in knowing Karamo personally, y'all, I mean, y'all don't know how hard this man has worked. And talk about in it for, as an actor and a host and someone who's trying to do things very similar to him, it just reminds me that God, the universe, has a direction for us that we just can't plan out. And, you know, I'll be really transparent. I feel like for me, a lot of my artistic process that I've just been wanting to do and create, I feel like I've been, I feel like I'm on the right path, but, and I'm on that river that's flowing the right way, but I feel like I'm on that paddle boat and I'm not going upstream. I feel like I'm going in the right direction, but I'm like, I'm trying to put like a motorboat and motorboat that shit. I didn't mean that to be dirty, but you know what? You know, I meant motorboat like as in brr, not a brr. Y'all know what I meant. But I'm trying, but I am trying to paddle so fast. And I feel like I want it to be like the Roaring Rapids right now. And the universe is like, you know what, girl? We're going to give you a lazy river right now. And you just need to do what you're doing, have faith, and keep going. And I really felt that was kind of a hug for the universe when I saw Karamo in this show, because I know how hard that man has been working for not just a couple of years, for like a decade, Sugars. She's been working her ass off. And so I hope that as you listen to this, to see where he was then and when you see where he is now, wherever you are in your life, it really is about doing the thing that matters, doing a good job of it, being of service to people, and then letting it go. That's all we can do is let it go. All right, Sugars, I hope you enjoyed this throwback. Again, be sure to go and do that survey for Jake and I for TV Tea Time. We appreciate it. Leave a review of this show, and I love you very much. Have a good week.